And so Matthew 5 verses 1 to 12, it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them." Now, I love the Beatitudes. When I kind of had my, I guess, rediscovery of Jesus, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago, like I've been pastoring for 17, 18 years, but there was a point where I really thought, what is it that is central to my faith? What are the things that I can nail down and say, no, this I'm sure is true? And I really went back to Jesus, and in going back to Jesus, his fundamental delivery and theology and worldview is established in this set of scriptures in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is like, this is the I think for me, the center of all Christian theology. This is where we start and we work our way out. This is how I reshaped my hermeneutic to focus in on Jesus' teaching. It's the manifesto of the kingdom of God. It's the bold declaration of an upside-down kingdom, whereas in our right-side-up kingdom, what we think is right and what we think is normal, what we think is good, Jesus turns that on its head with this theological treatise. So, but right there at the beginning, it says that he began to teach them. So he sits down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And I love this because in the Greek, it's actually a little bit more specific than that. Where it says, "and he began to teach them," the way that that's the NIV has chosen to translate that, they actually left a little bit out. So it's a reasonable translation, but it loses some of the sentiment, in my opinion. It loses some of the anticipation of what Jesus is going to do. In the Greek, it literally says that he opened his mouth to teach them and then teach them saying. So I want you to picture that in your mind. So instead of just imagining that you're translating the Greek text and you're trying to make the text say the right things, picture it. When it says that Jesus opened his mouth and began saying something, it's kind of the anticipation as he opens and then he starts his delivery. And so in N.T. Wright's translation, he captures that a little bit better. So in his translation, it says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the hillside and sat down. His disciples came to him. He took a deep breath and began his teaching." And I love that, the idea that Jesus, he's like, all right, this is the beginning, the birthing of something. He took a deep breath and he began his teaching. Blessings on the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessings on the mourners, you're going to be comforted. Blessings on the meek, you're going to inherit the earth. Blessings on people who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. For God's justice, you are going to be satisfied. Blessings on the merciful, you'll receive mercy yourselves. Blessing on the pure in heart, you will see God. Blessings on the peacemakers, you'll be called God's children. Blessings on people who are persecuted because of God's way. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. And blessings on you when people slander you and persecute you and say all kinds of wicked things about you falsely because of me. Celebrate and rejoice. There's a great reward for you in heaven. That's how they persecuted the prophets who went before you. So as this teaching, it begins, and then Jesus goes into the Sermon on the Mount and he gives his upside-down message where he throws a spanner in the works of the cultural and religious and political and social order of things. So a whole bunch of things that were considered absolutely settled, that were totally locked in stone, Jesus says, no, I'm going to reconsider them. I'm going to reshape them. I'm going to reform them. I'm going to turn those things over. It's a total rewrite of the social contract. So Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount. He keeps saying again, "You have heard this, but I tell you. You have seen this, but I will show you. And you have these promises, but I'm going to fulfill them in ways that you can't even comprehend." You see, the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with these Beatitudes, is a revolution against the power structures and societal norms that permeated the Roman and Greek and Jewish culture. You see, in the first century culture, honor and status were the most important things. And being victorious and mighty and powerful and wealthy and successful were the hallmarks of all greatness. And let's be honest, those things are pretty similar today as well. But the herald of the Beatitudes is that it's going to be reversed. That the promises of God are for justice being done. And the kind of justice where the broken things and the wounded and the bereaved and the ripped off and the hard done by finally get things made right. So it's no longer just the rich or the powerful or the violent or the selfish, the gluttonous, the warmongering, the unmerciful and the wicked that get the last laugh. The Beatitudes offer hope of restoration and justice and a new kingdom. So I want to just encourage you today and as we start this new year, that if you are exhausted but still holding on in spirit, if you are grieving or in despair, if your gentleness is triumphing over your violence, if you are seeking for God's justice in the world, if you are merciful and pure and making peace, if you are persecuted or mocked for following Jesus, celebrate and rejoice because the time of citizenship and comfort and prosperity and satisfaction and mercy and theophany and adoption and inheritance and reward awaits for you. And that which is hidden will be revealed, and the poor will become rich, the last will become first, the small will become great, and the hungry will be filled. The weary will find rest, the mourners will be comforted, and those who weep will laugh, and the sick will be healed, and the blind will receive sight, and the prisoners will be freed, and the humble will be exalted. You see, when Jesus went to the mountainside and he sat down because there was this crowd gathered and the disciples came to him, he took a deep breath. He inhaled all of the hope and desire and anticipation of all of creation for all of time, and he says, now something will be different. He announces that something was being born. And with a great deep breath, he shares with them his picture of a new kingdom in which the holy space of heaven is going to take shape on the earth and it's going to transform it, and that nothing will ever be the same. So Heavenly Father, I thank you as you shared on that Mount of Beatitudes almost 2,000 years ago, as you shared your vision of a new kingdom, a new restoration of what is right and good and true and holy. And I pray that we would know that and have hope and faith. And just as you drew a deep breath, that we too would have anticipation of your kingdom that is coming, that is come and that will come. I pray that we may be part of that and that we may have great joy knowing the promises that you have set forth for us. In Jesus' name, amen.